Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mark Jonascheidt, the running pastor, speaking to you on a beautiful spring day here in the state of Washington. And yes, we do have beautiful spring days in the state of Washington. A few messages back, I mentioned that when I run, I purposely choose routes that cause me to run up steep hills. From the lowest point of my run to the highest, I climb approximately 232 feet in elevation in just a few miles. This, of course, has to be at the end of my run, because the major hill that I climb up, I climb goes up to where I live, not down. So at the end of my run, when my strength tends to be dissipating, I have to tackle a long hill that lasts for a couple of miles. It climbs and then it levels off and then it climbs again. So it's a major challenge to me sometimes, especially if I've run for, say, 6 miles prior to heading back up that hill. I'm sure there are runners out there who could easily put me to shame in this department. I'm an older runner, and I don't have quite as much vigor as I used to. But my main claim here isn't to impress so much as it is to make a point, and that is that the reason I purposely go up hills is to create resistance that makes my running muscles, my cardiovascular system, and my legs stronger. Now, in real life, resistance for much of my life has been something I preferred to avoid. And I'm sure I'm not alone on that. The reason why we're resistant to resistance, sorry about that, is that resistance tends to involve three things in our thinking: pressure, pain, and peril. Even if we're believers, we have a tendency, reaching back from our old nature, to want things to be easy. In other words, our former nature as believers tends to want to avoid challenge, and resistance tends to challenge us. Now, the sad thing about this is that toil never was God's plan in the first place. Work was part of Adam's responsibility to tend the garden, but there were no weeds. The weeds came after the fall. So through the fall, we have adversity and challenge and toil, unlike the way that God intended it for it to be in the first place. And somehow, we're not too pleased about it. At the same time, God has worked it so that adversity and resistance works for our benefit. In the same way that my muscles grow when strengthen when I run, our spirits grow when they face adversity in the right way. And that's what I want to talk to you about in this message, that even though adversity is somewhat of an enemy during this time, during this age after the fall, somehow God has made it so that adversity is actually good for us. And I'm going to read James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4 to kind of begin this message here. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." It's talking about adversity here. "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So what James is saying here is that adversity, trial, resistance, makes us three things: mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. Now, that's not how it feels, does it, when we're going through a time of challenge? We're not always feeling like anything good is going to happen at all, are we? In fact, we're feeling as though the world is coming apart all around us. But James is saying here is, consider it all joy when you face all kinds of trials. Another way of saying that is, consider it all joy when you face all kinds of problems. Isn't that right? Because trials are basically what we call problems, aren't they? Adversity, challenge. You can call it a whole bunch of different synonyms, but when it comes right down to it, we're talking about problems or resistance. Now, when we're in grade school, what is it that we learn about problems? That's right. There's something to be solved. And we don't often see it that way as adults, because life is so complex when we go into adulthood. Now, the solution isn't always what we want it to be, is it? Because sometimes the answer to a problem might be more patience, more maturity, more strength to do God's will, more energy to tackle something that we'd rather avoid. But we don't always see what God wants us to, do we? I want to share for a few moments several responses that often come from resistance and adversity and challenge. And I'm going to give you a bunch of funny words here so that you might want to hunt up a piece of paper and a pen or pull out your iPad or something and get ready to jot down a bunch of words. And the first one is this. Okay, this is the first thing that often we do when we face a challenge or a problem. It's to consternate. Okay, now don't get concerned about that big word. All consternate means is to worry. The first thing most people do when they face resistance, challenge, problems, all that, is to worry. And of course, Jesus spoke to that specifically in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. This is a familiar verse to a lot of people. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, how many of you were challenged by what Jesus said there? It's because our faith is so small sometimes, and our focus often is on the wrong thing. Jesus says that focusing on the kingdom of God first is the most important thing, and all of these things will come after. Now, does that mean that we won't have to work? We won't have to be productive? Of course not. Work has always been a part of what man has been about. As we discussed earlier, Adam worked. He just didn't toil. And I want to say that I'm challenged by this as much as anyone, because I can fret as easily as the next person. But most likely, the first thing that most people will do when they're challenged by adversity is to consternate or to worry. Another response to resistance is this: to abnegate. Okay, first we consternate, and then we abnegate. And all that means is to go into denial, to brush it off. And this is a tough one, because the problem isn't likely to go away, is it? I mean, no matter what our perspective on the resistance that we're experiencing is, it's going to continue to be there regardless of if we try to shrug it off or not. Okay, so to abnegate is a second way to deal with the problems that come into our lives. Just push it off. Try to forget about it. A third way that we can deal with resistance is to acclimate. In other words, just get comfortable with the problem. We say, well, the problem's not going to go away, so we might as well just get comfortable with it and let it lie around and bother us. Okay? We just get used to it. It's part of the scene, part of our lives. We acclimate. And that kind of sounds silly, but most people often do that. I do it, in fact. and I'm sure that you do too. Still, a fourth way that we can deal with it is to capitulate. And that means to give in. We just accept it. So we consternate, we abnegate, we acclimate, and then we capitulate. We just say, it's probably going to happen anyway, so why try to do anything about it? We just accept it, okay? Number five, a fifth way to deal with resistance in our lives oftentimes is to accommodate. We just accommodate it. We make room for it. We invite it in. We make it comfortable. We say, well, if you're going to come in, you might as well come in and enjoy yourself, you know, just have a place in my life. Just come on in, be a part of what's going on, okay? But a sixth way to deal with adversity is to anticipate it. And this is a really mature place. This is a mature position. We anticipate it. In other words, we're ready for it. So the person who anticipates a problem, and I'm not talking about worrying and saying, oh, woe is me, all kinds of bad things are going to happen to me, but it's just a kind of a maturity. It says, I anticipate that there are going to be problems in my life. The person who anticipates a problem can be resistant to it. And that's better than the first five things that we looked at, because this is a much more mature position to be in. Most of the time, we don't deal with resistance because we're looking for a world with no resistance. But how many of you believe that that's possible? 1 Peter 4:12 says this, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that has come upon you as though something strange were happening to you. And 1 Peter 5:8 says this, it says, be watchful, be alert, and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What's that saying? It's saying you're going to have problems. And I'm warning you right now so that you can anticipate that there are going to be problems. Okay? You see, this is a mature position, anticipating storms, anticipating trial, anticipating resistance. Now, what Peter is referring to here is some persecution that came to the early church. And he's saying, hey, don't get all pushed out of shape that this is happening. You know, you were warned that this is happening or this would be happening. Right now, the church in America seems to be encountering some resistance from the world in a way that doesn't seem like it has before. We're being criticized for some of our stances that are biblical, and we're getting some resistance from the culture at large. Should we be surprised at this in a Western nation? No, because Jesus warned that at some point things would grow darker before they grew brighter. Okay? So should we be surprised that things are getting a little more uncomfortable? No, because we were warned. So number six is that when resistance comes, we can be ready because we have anticipated. Number seven, seventh way that we can deal with resistance is to evaluate. Think it through and pray about it. Ask God's wisdom. You see, all those previous ways, except for anticipate, are the wrong way to deal with resistance. But we can anticipate that it's coming and prepare for it, and then we can evaluate the resistance. Like, is this really something I need to be concerned about? Because sometimes the enemy just puts up a smokescreen, and there's nothing real behind it at all. If he can just get us to worry about something, then he doesn't have to plague us, okay? Other times, it may be from God. He's wanting to challenge us a little bit. I mean, he didn't exactly take us out of the world, did he? No, he left us here to do a work. And he sometimes uses resistance and challenge to grow us. And you know what that's called? It's called a test. 1 Peter 6:7 bears that out. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there's something we need to know. God will only test us, but he will never tempt us. Temptation is the enemy's work. testing is God's work in our lives, okay? So God may put us to the test to make us stronger, but he will never tempt us. It's important to understand that. And the eighth way to deal with opposition, resistance, is to remonstrate. And that means to stand up against something. Take authority. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, does that always mean that the circumstance will go away? Not necessarily. But it does mean that you will have the Lord's perspective on the situation, because often it's the enemy who is causing all kinds of confusion and consternation. And so to submit to God and to resist the enemy means that he will flee from you. He will flee from you. And you will have peace in the situation in order to deal with the resistance. Now, sometimes the resistance is the enemy. And we need to ferret that out first. How do you do that? We submit ourselves to God. And we pray for discernment. But what do we often do when we meet resistance? All of those other things that we talked about. We consternate, which is to worry. We abnegate, we go into denial. We acclimate, we get comfortable with the problem. We capitulate, we give into it. Temptations, bad habits. And finally, we accommodate it. We just invite it right in and make it comfortable. But it's the last three things that we actually need to do with resistance that will cause us to grow and become mature in God and in Christ. We need to anticipate that resistance is coming so that we're not surprised. We need to evaluate the resistance so that we know where it's coming from and how to deal with it. And finally, we need to remonstrate, resist the devil, tell him to go get lost. And then we can have a clear head to deal with the situation. You see, sometimes resistance is just flack from the devil. And other times it's something that God is allowing to come into our hearts to shape us and to mold us and to strengthen us. Just like when a person is running up a hill or lifting weights or doing push-ups. Just like the passage from James that I quoted way back at the beginning. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, when I go out running, if I just stop and mess around every few blocks, that's not going to do me much good. It's that continual pushing forward that helps me to develop my legs and my lungs and my heart and my internal organs. If I'm just out there tra-la-la-ing, I'll have a nice time, but I won't develop. So I look for those hills. I look for those grades. I look for those challenges. There's an old allegorical book by a woman named Hannah Hernard, and it's called Hind's Feet on High Places. And for those of us who don't know what a hind is, it's an old English word for a deer, and it's an allegorical book. And it starts out with a girl who lives in a valley, and her name is Much Afraid. And she's coaxed out of her fearing family by a shepherd who says he's going to teach her how to walk on the mountaintops and give her hind's feet or deer's feet on high places. There's a hill overlooking my hometown. It's not like Mount Rainier or anything, but it's definitely challenging. I'm sorry. It's called Hogsback Hill, but most of us call it Most of us there that are from there and live there call it Hogsback. And I've climbed it about three times in my life, but I always mess up thinking that I need to traverse it, when in fact, if you just go straight up at the beginning, you'll find a trail that goes right along the top of it. But every time I've gone up there, I've wound up on a trail that goes up the steepest part of the mountain, and all three times I've scared up a deer. And where I'm having just a horrible time standing up, they will mobile right up that hill with hardly any resistance whatsoever. The place where Jesus wants to bring us is that place where challenges don't seem like challenges at all. They're there, but they're seemingly insignificant. But he can only bring us there if we allow ourselves to deal with the resistance that comes in front of us in the way that he would have us. I'd like to pray for you, and I'd like you to pray with me as we all bow our heads and our hearts before God. Father, we thank you so much that you present challenges to us, Lord, that we're not just left in this world, Lord, just to kind of move along without any attainments, without any growth, without any strength, but that, Lord God, you place challenges in front of us, or you allow challenges to be in front of us so that we can grow and we can become more like you. And we thank you, Lord God, that as we walk with you and we face these challenges in the way that we should, that you will give us wisdom, that you will give us maturity, that you will give us strength, and you will give us all the good things that you promised to give us, Lord, as we follow you, as we obey you, as we acquiesce to you, as we lay down our understanding of what's right and begin to pick up what your understanding of what's right is. We glorify your name for this day. We thank you so much that you're watching out for us, that you are our Heavenly Father who loves us. And we praise you and we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast today. If this is your first time here, The Running Pastor is a nonprofit that is based in Washington State, and I run several days a week. My goal is to run the equivalent of across the United States right now for Alzheimer's Association. My life has been personally touched by this disease, as I've had family members who have had it. And I've just run the equivalent distance since I've been tracking my miles from Ocean Shores, Washington, which is way over on the coast of Washington, to Seattle, Washington. And so now it's on to Ellensburg, Washington, and on to the Eastern Seaboard. And if you go to runningpastor.net, that's runningpastor.net, you will see a donate page where you can give a donation to the longest day, which is June 21st, the summer solstice. That's the beginning of summer. And it's the longest day of the year, and Alzheimer's focuses on that day to bring in a lot of donations. So you will find a place there to donate to the longest day, which will help Alzheimer's Association a great deal. My website, runningpastor.net, is having some difficulty right now, but we're working on it. So I just wanted to warn you that it'll look a little stark at the moment. Also, in my runs around this area, which are often lengthy, for an old guy like me anyway, I do ministry. I pass out business cards, and I tell people that Jesus loves them. And I pray for them, and I encourage them to seek the Lord. I also do community service. I just helped build a park here in Auburn, Washington this morning for a day that they call Clean Sweep. And so we went down and we swept the streets of Auburn, had breakfast together, and then we went out and built playground equipment at a park, and we laid down wood chips, all that. Took the whole morning to do most of that. Some of them may still be working on it. I'm not sure. I had to leave because I have more things going on in the day. But I do that. I do community service. I encounter the homeless. I've actually printed out some little cards that show where all the community suppers are here in this area to try to help them get a good meal every day. So I do that. I'm looking for public speaking opportunities, a lot of stuff that the regular pastor does. Basically, I'm just trying to be an all-around do-gooder, only partially online and around the community. So on my website, there's another place to donate to support this nonprofit. It would be very beneficial if you were able to give a tax-deductible donation to the running pastor as well. And I want to bring emphasis to something that I'm doing on the 21st of June once again. It's Alzheimer's Association's biggest day to promote their work. On that day, I will be running from Lesgov Park in Auburn, Washington, to Enumclaw, Washington. That's a distance of around 15 to 17 miles. So there's going to be info coming on the website shortly about that, and my Facebook page as well, The Running Pastor. So I'd love to see some support for that. We'll be able to track those donations regarding how much my team, The Running Pastor, is going to be able to raise. So that is all for now. And I want to thank you once again for listening to my message. And so this is Mark Jonah Scheidt, The Running Pastor, wishing you a good day and good running. Bye now.